Morning. Well, we are, continuing our series, The Ghost, this weekend, looking at the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be learning more about this today through air and through water and through oil. See, when we first started this series, we took a look at this thing of the ghost being available to be within us, the Holy Spirit of God. Kind of started for us in taking a look at this radical statement that Jesus made right before he left this earth. There was this time where he gathered his closest followers together, his disciples, and he said to them, "Hey, I'm going to be going. I'm going to be leaving you." And of course, they totally freak out about that. But he says, "Hey, but it's good that I go. As a matter of fact, it's better for you that I go because I'm sending something else to you. I'm sending someone else that's even better." You think about that. Wow, you know what? Better than Jesus. I mean, that would freak me out. You know, what does that mean? Why would Jesus say that it's better for you that I leave you now? Well, one of the things we know in the Bible, one of the names that's given for Jesus in the Bible is Emmanuel. And you may be familiar with that term, Emmanuel. There's a lot of churches, a lot of schools called Emmanuel. Emmanuel is a name that was given Jesus in the Bible, and it means God with us. Because what that means is that one point in the history of time, God took on skin and came down to earth and walked among us. And that was God, Jesus Christ. And he came down and he was God with us, Emmanuel. And the reason why that he did that was that God had created us and he'd created us and he wanted us to experience love. But he knows that for us to experience love, love always involves a choice. There's no such thing as love that's been forced. So for us to experience love, we have to have a chance to choose something that's not love. And in those choices, all of us throughout the history of time have chosen against God. You know, what's in the Bible is called sin. It's just simply choosing not love. And God wants us to restore us to love, so he takes on skin and he comes down Emmanuel, God with us. And what Jesus did was, all of our choices of not love in the world, it adds up to this thing of death. Jesus came down to beat this death thing for us, and the only way you beat anything is you go right through it. So Emmanuel, God with us, comes down, he's with us, and he goes right through death and comes out on the other side beating it for us, so that we can have our relationship with love restored. And by accepting that, of this thing that Jesus did for us, without understanding all the details of exactly what that means and everything in my life, we accept that. And then what we're doing is we're asking God to guide us in, and the Spirit comes into us. And we get this power that comes into us. What's interesting, though, is the word Emmanuel is only used for Jesus in the Bible, not the other parts of the Trinity, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Emmanuel is only used for Jesus. For instance, for the Holy Spirit in the Bible, the word that's often used, and never Emmanuel, but the word that's often used in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, is a Hebrew word called Ruah. Or, if you really want to get your Hebrew on, Ruach. It's Ruach, you know, is the word. And so, for instance, in the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis 1, it says that in the beginning, God's Spirit was hovering over the waters. And the word there, it's God's Ruach. Was hovering over the waters. And again we see this word Ruah to describe God's Spirit. What's interesting, though, is the other times we see that exact word used. That exact Hebrew word is also used in the Bible to describe the air that's in our lungs. It's used to describe the oxygen that's in our mouth that we bring in. That apparently this life-giving oxygen that we breathe in is very similar, and it's a picture of God's Ruach in our life if we're a follower of him. So the question is, you know, the challenge that Jesus posed of that, I'm going, what could be better than Emmanuel? What could be better than God with us? How about God in us? So Jesus says, it's better that I go because through this power, you can have this power in you. Is the very breath that you breathe can be different and it can bring you life instead of death. My Spirit can actually be in you. That's what's better than God with us, God in us. And so the Spirit can give us power for all kinds of things. Certainly it can give us power for doing amazing things in life that people look at and say, wow, how could a human do that? But I think more often it gives us power to just do the everyday things in life out of a different strength. It gives us power through the little everyday challenges of life to be living not out of our own breath, but out of the Spirit. And it really does empower us to do things, not from a natural standpoint, but from a supernatural. Even in, you know, kind of the little things. And I see kind of little sparks of this in my life where it becomes more obvious than others. For instance, a couple weeks ago, I took my dog, Moose, to the dog park. And, you know, you go to the dog park so they get their exercise and also, you know, so that, you know, he can go to the bathroom. So we get there and Moose kind of does his deal and I, you know, take the little plastic bag and I clean up, you know, I throw it away and then go over to another part of the park. And this particular dog park that I go to, there's a lot of hills in the distance. And I'm always looking up there trying to get my bearings, figure out, well, what exactly are those houses there and where is that street, you know, and try to figure out those hills. So I'm kind of doing that, and Moose is kind of running around by me, and I'm sitting there kind of lost in that, trying to figure out where I am, and all of a sudden it's interrupted by this screaming. Somebody is screaming at the top of their lungs. And then I have two quick realizations after that. The first one is, when I listen a little more careful, this person is screaming obscenities. They are screaming the foulest words imaginable at the top of their lungs. Then the second realization I have is that this person is screaming these things at me. Yeah, to be honest with you, that was the more surprising of the revelations for me. So I look up, and it's like he's like from me to there. There's this kind of little old man, kind of looks like a little old professor type. But he's screaming these obscene things. He's screaming every word in the book at me. And I stop and I look up and I realize, and then I realize what he's telling me. He's telling me I need to pick up after my dog. You know, apparently, while I was lost in the hills, Moose decided it was going to be a two-bag day. You know? So he, you know, had kind of done. So I look over and I realize the guy's telling me, you know, clean up after your dog. But he's using much more colorful language than that. Tell me clean up after. And I look up and I say, I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Let me go do that. Can you kind of show me where it is? He says, I'm not going to show you. You know where it is. And then he just unleashes this string of profanity. I'm just screaming, calling me a liar. And then I saw it happen, and I was, you know, all this kind of stuff. Now, what you need to know about me to fully appreciate this is that deep down inside me, in my core being, down in those places I don't like to talk about, I am naturally a smart aleck. I am. I know, everyone, I'm shattering some images right now. I know that. I naturally have this thing in me where if you want to engage in words, I can do that. You know, as a matter of fact, I know all those words. I can use those words. And I know other ones as well, which I personally think are more clever than those ones. But nonetheless, I can engage and I can do that. Now, I also have another part of me, which I believe is a part that God put there, but nonetheless, I can twist it. And then I have this real strong sense of justice. I hate to see injustice. It just brings something up in me. And I hate to see something happen to weak people. I hate to see the strong use leverage over them. I hate to see injustice. I hate to see people disrespected, those kind of things. The problem is those two things can kind of come together in kind of a twisted way for me that in my past, I can sometimes be in instances where I see that it's my job to put someone in their place. You know, somehow, you know, I see this. And I've looked at my life, and there's usually a thread of three things going on that really makes this pop up where I, you know, need to put somebody in their place. And it's usually, one, if I see somebody being disrespected in public, I mean, that just really bothers me. Two is if my own energy level is pretty low, so I don't have a lot of patience going on at that. And then the third one is, what's the other one? If it's a little old man who I could take if I need to. Yeah. That one. And let me tell you, if you're going to do this at home, don't forget number three, because you can get really hurt if you forget that one. So I decide, all right, this is not cool. This is not cool. So I go, I look around, I finally clean up after Moose, and then the guy's over another part of the park, so I walk over the park. I walk over to him. I go up to him, and I say, hey, you know what? First of all, I'm sorry. I didn't see what my dog had done. Thanks for pointing that out to me. But you know what? You can't talk to people like that. We can't treat other human beings like this. And you know what? You need to clean up your language. Well, apparently he wasn't ready to let the healing begin quite yet. So he had other words in reserve he hadn't used yet. And so he kind of starts unleashing those on me. And he's just, I mean, he's spitting and he's screaming all these foul words. And in one 30-second spot, he questioned my manhood, my integrity, my mother, and my dog. You know? Question my dog and you're in trouble. That's, you know, what I got to say. So I decide, you know, at that moment, I was like, you know what? I bet this guy does this to everybody he interacts with. I would hate to be in his family. You know what? He said, you know what? Somebody needs to set him straight. Somebody needs to stand up to him. So, you know, I decide, okay, this is me. You know, this is where he's going to get a little Brian Justice now, you know. So I step up to him, and all of a sudden I hear this voice in me. And the voice says, do not trade insult for insult. Reckless words pierce like a sword. The tongue of the wise brings healing. You know, that voice, of course, was my wife. She had told me that in the car about a year and a half before in a similar situation. But those words were God's. That was God's spirit, his truth, speaking through Nancy. And now God's spirit was bringing it up to me again. And I was standing there looking at that guy, and I kept hearing, do not trade insult for insult. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So at that moment, when I'm getting ready to ramp up, everything that's natural in me, the way I'm created, is going to make the justice scales rebalanced in this moment. And I take this breath, and I find what comes out of me. I'm sorry. I should have been paying more attention. And I walked away, and I spent the next hour at that dog park praying for that guy and thinking, I don't know what he's dealing with in his life that kind of thing is that close to the surface. You know what? That was not me. There was nothing natural about that. That, for me, that was supernatural. That was not my breath flowing out of me. That was Ruach. That was God's spirit. And I find this power available to me to do things that are supernatural, even in small moments like that. So we see this picture that God gives us of the spirit that is available to us and that kind of power. And he gives us this picture of air, of the air that we breathe, and that God's spirit in us can be as natural as that. But he also gives us a picture of the spirit of water, which is why we've spent so much time in water in this series, The Ghost. Because he gives us this picture of water again and again as this metaphor for how God's spirit is available to us to flow to us. For instance, there's one part where Jesus is talking about this in the book of John. And take a look how he talks about it in John 7. He says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this, he meant the Spirit. And Jesus is painting this picture of there's a different kind of water available to us. There's this living water that can flow in us and through us and to others. And he says, this is available to whoever believes in me. And what Jesus was referring to there was Emmanuel having come to earth to restore us to love, going through death for us. And if we accept that and we say, yeah, I can't do this on my own, and it's only through that radical love gift Jesus made for me that I have this life available for me, Jesus says when we make that decision, streams of living water are available to us and the Spirit can flow through us. And so this picture of the Spirit as water comes up again and again. That's why, you know, Brian mentioned baptism a little bit earlier, and just a little bit, we're going to have a chance to experience that. That's why for thousands and thousands of years, followers of Christ around the world, from Bangkok to Beirut to Budapest to Columbus to Clifton to Cincinnati, have been doing this for thousands of years. They have been doing this thing called baptism. And they've been doing it for two reasons. One is, very simply, because God commands us. God says, this is something that you need to do. This is part of your journey with me. And then secondly, they do it because it is this act. It is this very completely immersive act that helps remind us, as this incredibly clear way within our community, that we are living out of the power of His water and not our own. And so followers of Christ have been doing this for thousands of years. And let me tell you, it has been funky and it has been weird in every single generation. But I think that's part of the reason why God created this thing, because it is such a different experience for us that He can use to wash over us and remind us. And so, for instance, the Apostle Paul, when he's writing to this new church in the Bible in Corinth, he talks about it in this way, with baptism, and he talks about the Spirit. Actually, go on ahead to 1 Corinthians. He says, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, And we were all given the one Spirit, what? To drink. We're all baptized by one Spirit, and we're all given the one Spirit to drink. Again and again, this water metaphor comes alive to us. And it's one of the ways that God engages us and He teaches us. And somehow, in ways I don't fully understand, responding in obedience to God is part of the way that we receive His Spirit. Part of the way we receive more of His Spirit. You see, a relationship with God, one of the big things that's become twisted, particularly in our country in the last 100 years or so, is that it's this rules, that it's all about observing these right rules. And that's become what's known as religion. But what Emmanuel came for us, and the Spirit that's available to us says, no, this is about a relationship. This is about a God who radically loves you. So much so that again and again in the Bible, the words that Jesus uses to describe His relationship to us, those that are pursuing His heart and those that are trying to pursue a life of what Jesus made for us, He refers to it in terms of this intense love that He has, and He refers to Himself as the groom, and He refers to us collectively as His bride. And He talks about how intensely He loves us as a bride loves his groom, as a groom loves his bride. And he even uses this water metaphor in this. And he talks about in terms of, he says, that the groom will cleanse his bride with this washing of the water. And so again and again we see that Emmanuel, God with us, came to us, not that it stops there, but so that we could actually have God in us. What we see is that the groom came and he brought a gift for the bride. And the gift that he brought was the Spirit. The gift that he brought was God in us. This is a thing of relationship. And there's this interesting call and response to any love relationship where it's not enough for one person just to call, but the other person needs to respond. And so the groom, out of his love, has set forth these things by which we can respond, which are ways we help receive. We help receive the power and we help receive that love. And one of them, for those of us, in whatever clumsy ways we've defined ourselves as somebody who's on this journey of being a follower of Christ, is baptism. And so we're going to take a moment here, just for us to kind of still ourselves and for you to ask yourself, have you taken this step in your life? And is today the time to take that? And you know, I want to tell you, this is not kind of some guilt thing, or you need to feel some kind of peer pressure or something like that. All this is a chance for us to say, yes, God, you spoke out in this way. You spoke out in this way. And I understand that love's broken in life, and that I've been part of that, and that by you going through death, I have the gift of life in the Spirit. If you're someone who's made that decision and you don't have it all figured out, you don't know exactly, you know, all the right things to do all the time, or even there's stuff in the Bible that troubles you or confuses you, but if you've kind of made that decision and you've not done this, I can very confidently tell you that it is time. That one of the ways we receive the power, one of the ways we receive the Spirit, is that we respond to the calls that God does make of us. And so I'm going to give us some time just to kind of still ourselves. I'm going to say a prayer. At the end of that prayer, if that's something that God's spurring in you right now, all you have to simply do is get up and you come down front right over here to this corner and there'll be some folks that meet you there. And it may be something, maybe you're with some friends or family today and you want them to experience this with you and to come down and stand by here as you do it. Really encourage you to do that. They should come down with you. Come right to this corner and there'll be some folks that meet you. And they'll take you in the back. There's kind of change of clothes for you, things like that, towels. They'll take you in the back and they'll just have a brief conversation with you to make sure you kind of understand the full perspective of this. And then we'll celebrate this together. Let's just take a moment and ask God's Spirit what He's speaking to us. God, we thank you that this is not about rules. Thank God this is not about rules, that it is a relationship. And God, I know that there are those of us in here today that we've made that decision, maybe today, maybe last year, maybe 10 years ago, but we've never taken this act that you've given us as part of community, which is one of the ways that we step forward into this power of your Spirit. And God, I know right now there are some competing voices in people's heads. There's all these voices telling them all the reasons why they shouldn't do this. A lot of very practical reasons. God, I pray that your Spirit right now, you tell us that you give us your Spirit as a counselor. I pray that you would give us wise counsel right now, that we would be able to discern those voices that are telling us not to, that they are not from you. God, we thank you. As your bride, we thank you for this gift. In Jesus' name, amen. I obviously don't know everyone's personal story in here. I can tell you, though, that if you've ever kind of made that decision that this is something that in even clumsy ways you're trying to follow, if you've ever done that and you haven't done that, it's time to do this. The water's open. If we could just hold the baptism for just a moment. You know, there's some in here, you know, if you're like me, you did that some time ago in your life. But to be honest, on your average day, you'd have to admit, you feel a lot more dry than you feel wet. You know, it seems like sometimes this broken world that we're in is just designed as this giant dehumidifier to suck the Spirit, this life-giving Spirit, out of us. And so we said today we're gonna explore the Spirit more through air and through water and through oil. So we also want to make something available today. If those that are going to be doing this would come on down and take your stations. There's something else in the Bible. There's another imagery that God uses for a way that he anoints us with his Spirit, and it's called anointing with oil. And there's places, for instance, in the Bible, in Psalms there, it talks about, you anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. And that all of us, I think we come to this place of realizing that we need a continual filling of this in our life. We need a continual filling, which is okay. It's kind of cool because there's a continual flowing. So what we want to make available to everyone today, if you say, you know what, I just need this continual presence in my life, and I'd like to hear God's voice a little bit clearer in my life. And I would like to feel his presence of his comfort and his counsel in my life, in even increasing ways in my life, and just to hear his voice clear. We're going to have folks down here, right down here, and then also behind you up in the balconies, who have oil. And if you want to come down, and they'll just take a small dab of the oil, and they're going to anoint you on your head with it, and just say about a two-sentence prayer over you. Just a prayer that says, God, please help them hear your voice in even clearer ways day by day in their life. If you're like me and you could use that kind of power just constantly prayed over you, I encourage you to participate in this. We're going to continue baptizing people. And then just come down at any point if you want somebody to say that prayer over you.
It's an awesome moment for us. And you know what else I was thinking as we did? Keep coming forward. Yesterday there was a guy who got baptized in here, a guy who I've known for a while, I've been praying for. And I regret that I didn't jump into the pool and embrace him in that moment. I will never have that moment again. For some of us right now, this is a moment that you have, and I'm asking you to not let it pass by. Take your moment right now.